everybody. Welcome to episode 138 of the Overseas Connection. Today is October 18th, 2011, and we are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And, yeah. I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, and we have a full house this week. So, straight from the pubs, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Hi, Elf back. I've had 5 pints, and I'm very, very happy to be here.
Rich, you were over at the pubs watching the football, the soccer for the uninformed.
Yeah.
How did that go?
No, it was rubbish. Yeah.
Rubbish?
Yeah. Manchester United played pants against the Romanian side and then got through because they had 2 penalties. Enough said.
Let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find you drink more pints when you're losing or winning?
It's not me that's losing or winning because I'm completely neutral. I was just sat with 2 Man U fans.
Okay. If this was your favorite team, though?
I would normally drink as much as possible, as always, when I'm in the pub.
All right. I can see where this is going to go, which is nowhere. So we'll move on. Also joining us this week, back from the curse, the headache, whatever other malarkey that he tried to feed us in terms of why he didn't want to be on the show, Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello, Greg.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good, good. And I do have a car, Greg. Last week you said I don't know. I don't think he even owns a car. I do own a car, fully insured, fully MOT'd, fully taxed, all mine. Thank you very much. Electric windows. Oh, thank you.
You know what, Mike? I actually, after the show, I realized you do, in fact, have a car. Because I've seen pictures with it covered in snow.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. It's a cold day in the UK today as well. I don't know if Primrose could attest to that, but it's been cold today.
Very chilly. Very chilly.
Yeah, don't like it that the cold's coming back and it's getting dark again.
And that wasn't a car covered in snow. Mike had actually made a snow car so that the ladies outside his house would think that he had a car.
Yeah. Hey, baby. Ferrari under there. So, yeah, that's me, Greg. But I'm not going to read my gamertag out because people should know him by now. And if you don't, write into the show and ask for it.
There you go.
Interactive now.
I like it.
We're interactive.
Interactive. We are. Last but certainly not least, Mr. Christopher Matthew. Okay, so what you didn't hear, or maybe you will hear later on, Chris is going to step away for a few minutes. So even though we are introducing him into the show, you are not going to hear his lovely voice yet because, well, he had things to attend to. So
yeah, apparently babies need attention, Greg.
It's insanely crazy. You know what? Even to this day, I mean, I'm a dad myself, and I still don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're born. Come on, fend.
Richard's got about 5 babies.
I know. He's a machine. He is a machine.
Stallion.
Chugging away, man. Chugging away.
Well, we are going to chug away. Chug on? Chug away? I don't know. We're going to move on. We're going to jump into the whole, you know, what we've been playing thing. Because I think there's a lot to talk about here. Maybe not so much from some of us, but, well, you know.
Me.
Yeah. But that's okay. Others, lots. All right.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
You know that track? That track is just so catchy. Mr. Headcase from the 360 Gamercast. He loves that song so much that he's driving his missus up the wall with it. He keeps singing it to her and she fucking hates it.
It's brilliant.
She's obviously not heard the original version.
So in essence, his missus hates my missus. If you want to look at it like that. If she ever met my missus, she'd be like, you're the fucking girl. You.
Yeah.
This could be problematic.
Mm. Oh, well. I think Headcase is American, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're fine. There's a lot of water between them.
All right. Well, let's talk about what we've been playing. A lot went on my end of the playlist. So why don't we start, Rich? Why don't we tackle? Or actually, you know what, Mike? Let's tackle what you've been playing.
Okay, Gears of War. I'm up to wave 46. Done.
See, I knew it was going to be short.
Hold on.
So, wait, 46. Why did you stop at 46?
Because my brother had to go to bed, apparently. What a wuss. Ginger people, you know, they're rubbish at the best of times. But, yeah, he had to go. So, whatever. I've been playing with Gang U Crimes and my brother. So, we had a fair few games. And Duke joined in as well. Played the beast mode a little bit more as well. And I'll tell you what. My brother, he's going crazy on those Onyx medals. He's so determined to get every achievement. And he was just, like, telling me about all these different Onyx medals that he's got to get. Like, so-and-so kills for this weapon, and you got to get, like, 24,000 active reloads. And I'm like, Pete, you are mental. You are mental. But, you know, again, Ginger. So he doesn't have a lot of friends, you see, Greg.
Yeah, well, apparently that's the case with most gingers, right?
Yes, yes. So I feel sorry for him in a way. He's kind of his friend. But yeah.
Can I just say something real fast? Whenever I'm saying somebody's like ginger, I feel like I'm being almost like racist.
Well, it is. It's the only accepted form of racism left. Right? And rightly so, because they clash with everything. You know what I mean? Like gingers. They can't wear a suit properly. They're just weird. Anyway, Pete... Yeah, I mean, he's been helping with the horde mode. And he puts those kind of modification things on. So you got the active reload, the melee thing, infinite ammo. So they help loads. But it's still challenging, you know what I mean? It's not a walk in the park by any means.
Are you guys playing it on insane, or are you playing it on hardcore?
It's insane, yeah, it's on insane. So, it's a lot of
fun. Little tidbit I learned about the whole insane thing, by the way. If you're playing horde mode on insane... and go to join somebody else's campaign or fire up campaign. I think it works either way. It will automatically put you into insane level, even though they may be playing it on hardcore or normal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And basically I honestly don't know an easy way to back out and change the difficulty setting.
Right.
So I got into a game with a friend of mine and literally was getting my ass handed to me, and he was like having no problem. And I'm like, what the hell? I mean, I'm dying like 20 times to his one. And at first I'm like, okay, I just must be sucking. But no, it was things like, you know, a grenade 20 yards or 20 feet away would go off. It would kill me, but it would barely scratch him. And I slowly came to the realization that somehow I was in insane mode. And, I mean, it's awesome that you can do that because then you work on your, you know, your achievements. But, it also kind of sucked.
I should also mention, Greg, that I think I'm on the last boss of the campaign as well. Cause I still haven't finished the campaign. But
what boss are you on?
I am on. Right, spoilers, right. So, there is a big fucking queen bitch, and it's not the one in the lobby with the stairs and the chandelier. It's the other one where Dad is in the fucking thing, and that one. And there's, like, just a big circle, and there's just, like, none stopping, and you have to hammer a door on it and stuff.
Yep.
That one. Is that the last boss?
Yeah.
Marsh and I could not fucking do that. I don't know if it was getting late or we was just getting frustrated, but we just couldn't do it. And this is the first time I've actually like been stuck on a Gears of War game.
Is that insane?
No, it's on hardcore.
Well, booyah! Me and fucking Bongo the same did it! Woohoo!
Well, you're going Skype and one of you's Irish anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, I don't know what... I think it was just because it was late and we were just getting bored. But we just couldn't do it. I was just like, I almost gave up.
It is odd.
I still haven't finished it. I still haven't saw the end cutscene or whatever. But I enjoy it. I think it's a great campaign. And that's it, really. Yeah. That's all I've been playing. What else? I played Worms today. That was it.
Played Worms?
Worms 2, Armageddon. Oh, I played that I played that other Worms game, that Ultimate whatever.
The 3D one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played that one. That is awful. Like when they learned 10 years ago that 3D Worms just doesn't work. So why bring it back? Just carry on. So, I've also been playing Real Steel, all right?
You don't say.
Real Steel?
Really?
No.
Really? Steel. It's an arcade game that got released along the stupid fucking movie. That's Rock'em Sock'em. Anyway, I've been playing Real Steel. It's an arcade game. It's basically a fighting game where you fight with robots. I can't believe that this is a film. I cannot believe this is a real film that people had to pitch as an idea. How about fighting robots? Sure, make it. We're out of ideas. So anyway, Real Steel, it's a boxing game pretty much with robots, and it's pretty dull, very basic, but kind of satisfying at the same time. I don't know why. I think it's the sound effects or the big, you know, clunky, like punches that you have. It's kind of satisfying, but I got everything I wanted from the demo. Like, there's no reason to play the game. I was like, yeah, done. I'll just play the demo again if I want to play that again. So that was okay, but there's no need to buy it. I did play another game called Orcs Must Die, and I think you guys have spoke about it already.
Yes.
Correct? Yeah, it's pretty cool, though.
I really like that game. It's very good.
I want to buy that game. I just can't justify it right now.
I bought it.
Gonna have to wait.
I love the main character in it. He's such a dick. And like, it's easy to control, and the weapons are funny, and there's bringing in new ones, and I like the chandeliers and the buckets of acid you could tip over. I loved it, and his little dialogue things that he was saying, like, I'm awesome or whatever, and funny. Kind of like a game out of nowhere, really. I enjoyed it. I think if that goes on sale, I'll buy that, but at the moment, with the games how they are, and, you know, it's crazy season at the moment, I'm not going to buy it, so.
Yeah, I would say if it goes on sale, for sure I'll pick it up. If it had come out during the summer of arcade or that time frame, I would have picked it up at this price point. I would have had no qualms.
I think this is better than a lot of the summer of arcade games that came out this year. I think it's great. Obviously, it might not have been ready by then, you know?
Yep.
Or it could have been a scheduling thing or whatever. But yeah, I really like Orcs Must Die. I thought that was a great little game. And that's it from me, Greg.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let's move on to Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Hello, everybody. I'm on the show now.
Yes.
You're back, Greg.
You are. You made it back in.
Yeah.
I did. What have I been playing? I played a bit of Gears of War 3, which was an epic fail.
Can we talk about that real fast?
But, I mean, What had happened was, you remember how you were talking about that whatever difficulty was the last difficulty you were on is the one that you're on?
Yes.
Well, the last time I played, I was doing 4-player insane co-op. So when I jumped into your game, I was on insane difficulty.
Yes.
So if I even looked at that stupid floating bee thing, I died. And it was driving me freaking crazy. I eventually quit because I was just holding you guys up. I was like, this is fucking ridiculous. And so I quit from what you were doing, and I went to play Big Head mode.
Was that any good or what?
No, it was the head big heads. Who cares? I did. And then I played Torpo Tag mode.
I played that.
That was
actually I played that with you, Mark.
I was going to say, did I play it with somebody here?
With me.
I got owned horribly during Torpo Tag, but it was kind of fun.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
So that was Gears of War 3. Anything else to say about my ineptitude, Greg? I mean, I'm giving you a chance here.
It was just comical because so we were actually trying to help Stuart out from the Veteran Gamers to finish up Gears of War 3 because he needed help finishing out the game, and he was just towards the end. So I jumped in and. It was kind of the perfect time waster just for the end of my extra life session.
It finished pretty much the same time as your extra life.
Yeah, literally within 5 minutes of the end of extra life, I finished up playing Gears of War 3 with him. However, had it not been for Chris, we probably would have finished up a little bit earlier. And then I would have had to, you know,
I helped
helping.
You
were helping.
You.
But, you know, literally we're in there and suddenly we notice one of the other guys is suddenly now being controlled by somebody, which is always kind of creepy in Gears of War 3 that your friends can just jump into a game without you knowing they're coming in. And they just suddenly join and they're now in there. But So Chris comes in and he's trying to help us out. We're in the final boss, which you're now at, Mike, and we're fighting, and all you hear, of course, we fight for like two minutes or so, failed, and Chris's name comes up as was killed, and it's just like you start hearing the subtle curses coming out. Son of a bitch! God damn! So, and then suddenly just, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Yeah, that was my rage quit. I had a little rage quit. I was like, you know what? That's enough. That's enough.
Well, and you know what? I mean, it really must have been frustrating because, I mean, it was happening so fast and frequently for you. And we were trying to, we could not figure out what it was because, I mean, literally you were just like, I didn't do anything. I don't even know how I died.
Well, I was standing behind cover and like my shoulder touched a little beam of light. I was like, what the man?
Yeah.
So then I figured it out. Yeah. I was still on insane difficulty, which, I mean, that's no excuse. I'm not good enough to play on insane difficulty. Apparently.
I'm right there with you because, once I got to a end stage boss battle, when I was playing with my friend, I mean, I was getting owned left and right to the point that it was just laughable. We were laughing how many times I was dying, and I was just like, okay, this is just not working. Something is not right. And that's when I figured out that it had put me in an insane mode. But, yeah, good times. Anyway, that's it.
Yeah. It was good, though.
It was. You played something else, though, that
and
I think
then, and then I jumped into some Forza.
I
jumped
playing
in
that a lot.
Actually, Forza, I guess, was the day before the Gears of War 3 fail.
Yes, it was. It was the
because
game.
That was on Saturday. Yeah, what a riot with 16 people in there. That was awesome. A little bit crazy.
Let's talk Forza 4 up right now. I mean, we might as well.
Let's talk it up. Let's talk it up.
So I'm going to – seriously, I'm just going to grab some to it because I have nothing to say.
I don't want to hear it from you. I'm saying what I'm saying, clown shoes, is you guys do this to me all the time. All right? So much.
Fair enough. Right. I'm going to grab some sweets. Love you. Bye.
How does it play with 16?
With a little bit of jumping around here and there, but nothing bad. Nothing. I mean, there was a couple wrecks that were caused by some lag issues, but for the most part, we had some – most of the wrecks were caused by – 16 people trying to fit through one corner at the same time.
Yes.
Which, that'll do it.
Yeah, it was pretty hysterical because you could pretty much to a T guarantee – that was horrible rhyming. But, I mean, first major turn in that game was always a pileup of some amount.
Yeah, the top
four people with 8, so it was 16. Yeah. It must be bad.
Well, and we had damage on, so the top four in every race were just whoever happened to escape the carnage of the first turn.
And I think it was probably the best to be at the back of the pack at the start.
Yeah, because you kind of see it and try to avoid it.
It was probably the worst position to be in the front of the pack, especially if you weren't maybe one of the faster racers.
Yeah, crumbled the arms.
Oh, yeah, because everybody uses you as the bumper stop in that first turn.
I love it.
And I will say this. We had a few, I think, moments where some of the community members, you can hear some of the frustration coming out, especially for as long as we were playing. And people getting a little irked or irritated here and there about getting wrecked or because it would happen often and frequently. But – I gotta say, one of the funny things, and I don't know proper racing etiquette in real life, but it would stand to reason, at least from me, if you are the person hitting somebody else from behind, regardless of what you think they should be doing and or the way they should be racing, I kind of put that on you, not on the person that's in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you certainly...
We had a lot of people bitching about people breaking into a corner and getting into a wreck because they hit that person breaking. They're like, well, why were you breaking?
You just say, look, you wouldn't get the insurance claim, mate.
Exactly.
It's like, hey, look, if you don't like it, then slow down a little bit, then go around me on a straight.
Yeah, pass me where you should be passing. That's the other thing. You really, I mean, even in real racing, they don't do that much passing on a turn. It's usually the straightaways.
Not unless they have a huge run-up. Yeah.
Right.
Let's roll off a list then. Who was there then?
Oh, jeez.
It was everybody.
It was a rolling list. I mean,
if we tried to name everybody, we'd probably miss.
I mean, David the Alien, Daniel was there, Carnage,
Arcanix, Raw Messiah,
Parsnip was in there at one point.
Parsnip was there for a while. Some new guys, Lofty B was there, and Jen's Ninja, and
Sniper Curtain Curtis.
God.
He was hysterically funny.
Yeah.
Firefly.
Hey, my dog thought he was funny too. Hey, shut up!
Firefly, I believe, was there. And if we're missing you, we apologize. We're not intentionally missing you. I mean, there's just so many names we're going through. On top of which,
I want it.
The middle of my Extra Life marathon.
Go get it.
So here's a good story about going and getting it. So, the morning started off, I was playing with my buddy Roush Stage 3, and we were playing Gears of War 3. I took a break, came back, and started playing Forza 4. He jumped into our party chat, was talking to us, and we all were talking up the game so much, he ran out, bought the game, and came back later within like 2 hours, had the game, and played all night with us. So, and it's that good. The Forza Club mode is brilliant. It's easy, and it in a sense extends your friends list. So this is one of the things I love so much about it. Anybody who joins the Gate Forza Club will then be visible to every member in the Gate Forza Club, even if they're not on your friends list.
Beautiful.
We are limited, however, to 100 members in the car club.
Well, we were at, what, I think 35 right now, somewhere around there?
Well, there was a bunch new joined today. I think it'll fill up eventually.
Yeah.
And then, you know, give it a few weeks and some of the people that aren't really that into it will move off and, you know, it'll steady out eventually. The car club's a great feature. I think, you know, so Stu was asking me, after we got done playing Gears of War, he was asking me if I thought Forza 4 was different enough to make a new release. And I think they've added enough new features to warrant it. You know, the car club.
Oh, without a doubt.
The Top Gear challenges, the rivals mode. So, yeah, I think so.
I was talking to him about it as well. And there are definite graphical upgrades, audio upgrades. And, you know, I mean, you look at Forza 3, and Forza 3 definitely had a nice coat of polish to it. It had some good car models. It looked good. So, you know, you're not going to see, I think, in Forza 4, this huge, you know, upgrade. You know, a lot of people are trying to compare Gran Turismo 4 to Gran Turismo 5's upgrade and Forza 3 versus Forza 4's upgrade and say, well, there wasn't that big of a change, comparatively speaking, to Gran Turismo. Well, you know, that's not a fair comparison. Gran Turismo 4 came from a last-gen console
and five plus years
of development. Forza 3 to Forza 4 was 2 years of development, and they've added a ton of stuff. It's just not necessarily, I mean, it is graphical shine and audio upgrade, but it's so much more than that. And the community aspect of it, honestly, the car club and the addition of that whole area just really brought this game up to a new level for me. I mean, now it's like you're going to be able to find a race with friends almost any time you come on. And that's awesome.
I did that this afternoon. I was playing a little bit, and I'd finished up one of the seasons, and I was like, all right, I got a few minutes before I need to go have dinner before the show. So I just hit invite car club, and I had we didn't have a full lobby. We had six or seven people. But then other people started coming online and seeing that six or seven people were racing. And so soon six or seven turned into nine or ten. And by the time I left, there were 12. So that was cool. Yeah.
So how does it work? Does it still work the same way where if you join, then you sat waiting until everybody's finished the race before you can join the next one, yeah?
Yeah, if you join mid-race, you can't just jump in.
Right. Yeah, you can observe. You can observe the race.
You can spectate, which is funny.
Right.
It's actually pretty funny spectating because you can sit there and talk trash to people and make them nervous.
Funny commentary. Yes. Yeah.
It's good fun.
How's the Kinect work, Greg?
So Kinect. I haven't tried the Kinect, you know, racing, casual, friendly, you know, side of it. But I did do the Kinect head tracking, and I really enjoy it. It works well for me. The key thing to note, there's two things, and one's a definite plus, and one is not so much of a plus. It's actually a con in my book. So the head tracking, you look left and right, and you'll see a very subtle shift in your camera view into the corner of the cockpit. And really, to me, it's most usable and only really usable, or why you would want to use it, would be in the cockpit mode. And so you'll look to the left, and you'll pan over into kind of the left corner of the windshield. So as you're going into a turn, you kind of see a little bit better into that turn. Same thing, you look right. And of course, if you have a side mirror, you'll get a little bit better view of the side mirror. It takes a little bit of getting used to because as you're gaming and you do a little subtle head shift or whatever, you're going to see your head shift in the game. But what's nice is that I am not at least finding that I need to turn my head all that much to get it to activate and look into that corner. And so I feel like I'm still being able to very easily keep my eyes focused in on the game, and it doesn't feel like an impediment at all. And so from that standpoint, I really enjoy it. I like it. One thing, and I need to look and see if there's a way to tweak this or adjust this, I did notice once I turned head tracking on, it disabled the ability for me to use my thumbsticks to look left or right of the car. And that's a little problematic because you don't, through head tracking, you can't literally look to your far right or your far left to see if there's a car next to you. So you suddenly have two huge blind spots in a sense. You can look behind you still using the button, but you can't look left or right. And so for that standpoint, if I can't find a way to juggle that and make that work, I'll probably turn head tracking off. Only because it really is important. There's times where you need to know, is that car really right next to me? Or, you know, am I clear of him now? And so from that standpoint, I would say, but like I haven't even touched AutoVista yet. I have used the voice controls for Kinect to navigate the screens, and it all works really well. So if somebody's using a wheel and you can use it in conjunction with Kinect, you'll be able to navigate the screens very easily. I know some people, even in the past Forza games, using the wheel to navigate through the menus was a little cumbersome. And so now you can just call out commands to skip around through the game, and it works very well.
I have used the Auto Vista.
Okay.
It was a nice little diversion. I don't know if the way it's set up is any better than just. Kind of, it's more like an interactive little fact book. You know, you can you can walk around the car and open the door and get in the car and look at stuff, and little icons kind of pop up to let you know what you can interact with. So, you know, you can pop the hood and look at the engine, and you can look at some of the different technological features of the car and stuff. So, I just explored the very first one, the Ferrari 458. You know, it was kind of neat to get some of the technical history background of it and see some of the features. I don't know how much time I'll spend in there, though. I'd rather just race.
I think I will probably spend my time with AutoVista doing the challenges to unlock, because I know the Warthog unlocks at level 19 of AutoVista. So once you've unlocked you've done the 19th challenge, the Warthog unlocks. And so that's kind of my goal with AutoVista. I don't know that I, just like Chris, I don't know that I'm all that like enthused about it. It'll be fun.
I was disappointed that the Warthog wasn't drivable. That would have been so cool.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Even without the chain gun, it would have been cool.
Hey, one other little tidbit to throw in about Forza 4. It's kind of related, but not really related. I got in my Microsoft Speed Wheel. Last night, as a matter of fact, it showed up very unannounced because I didn't think I was getting it until next week. And so I fired it up this morning, as a matter of fact, and gave it a few laps. And it works really well. I was quite surprised. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it. My biggest problem with wheels in the past, especially the Microsoft Wireless wheel, I felt like whenever I would get in trouble, it was very difficult to correct properly because the turning radius on the wheel was so slight that overcorrection was very easy to do. And the force feedback and vibration of that wheel, when you had it turned up to any decent levels, made, you know, again, correction and keeping a straight line sometimes very difficult if you got yourself into some trouble. And you don't have that issue at all with this little wheel. It does have some downfalls. It's missing the right bumper button and left bumper button. So you're losing some button functionality, if you will. And you know, you can set it up to do gear shifting on the buttons, but I find the buttons are pretty small. So my gut feeling is that I'm probably going to enjoy using this wheel with automatic transmission as opposed to trying to do gear shift.
That seems to be what everyone thinks is it's going to be better for you're going to need to use it for automatic.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, it felt like I was going to be able to do power sliding and drifting a lot easier with this wheel than with the old Microsoft Wireless wheel, which I have. And it's light. It's very – I mean, it's surprisingly small. I actually thought it was going to be bigger, and I'm happy that it's actually small. It's not going to be obnoxious to try and put away and store somewhere. And the triggers, the gas and brake pedal triggers feel fantastic. They have a great smoothness to them, far better than the control pad. And so you feel like when you're, you know, accelerating, you're definitely in control of the acceleration. You never feel like you're hitting a point where it's maybe kind of going to suddenly go faster type thing. It's all very smooth, and it works. The tech works. So I would definitely recommend anybody who's looking for something in between, you know, a good race wheel and something more than just a control pad, it's worth checking out.
Okay, so. I've just come back and I bought it.
So. Okay, brilliant.
You'll love it.
Another one we suckered in.
So they've added some new race modes. I don't know how many of you you've had a chance to try out, but some of them are pretty clever. There's the Top Gear Bowling Challenge. So for Chinny and Rich and anyone else who hasn't played the game yet, this is where you drive around the Top Gear track and they have a bunch of bowling pins set up and your mission is to knock over as many of them as possible.
Nice.
Yeah. Arcadey styley.
Yes. Well, so it sort of is and it sort of isn't because you have to follow a good racing line to knock over the most of them. You know, you're supposed to drive one lap around the track. So there's no time limit, but you have to maintain a certain speed as
right.
you go.
Right, you can't stop. You can never come to a complete stop, from what I understand.
You can't stop and go back. So I haven't figured out yet if the secret to it is drifting around the corners to make your car as wide as possible or following a good racing line to just get the pins to knock each other over. Because I've had pretty good luck, you know, when you go through the turns, if I keep a good line, several of the ones on the side will get knocked down by the ones in the middle.
Yeah, you certainly, especially on the corners, the racing line is probably going to help you out and work well. It's the ones on the straightaway.
Yeah,
those are the ones that you really need to, you know, be able to get your car into a, you know, a power slide as you go into them, and you'll be able to knock out a lot more.
Nah. Well, I haven't had any problem making the score goal for any of them yet, so we shall see. I've only done three of them, though.
Okay.
The other one is, have you tried the autocross mode?
I have not tried autocross.
So autocross is you go – it's around some of the other tracks in the game. And what they've done is set up gates that you have to drive through. There's two sort of orange road barrel markers on either side of the gate. And so if you miss the gate, you get a five-second time penalty – and then you have a target time that you have to beat around the track.
Okay.
And that can be a little bit challenging at times because you have to, like I was running one around Laguna Seca in a Corvette, and the problem with that was the Corvette is very wide, the way it's built. So sometimes it was a challenge to fit it between the cones. You know, you had to be really careful to make sure you were lined up right. But it, you know, it's not too difficult, but it's good fun. It adds something new to the way you drive. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, can we talk about the best new mode? Soccer? Sorry, football.
Soccer. Yes. Soccer. Yeah, that is pretty good.
So you pair up and it'll be, you know, either two cars a side or you can go with, you know, we had basically I think 4-on-3. But you can go even higher than that. And basically, you get a set amount of cars to choose from, and we've decided the Hummer has the decided advantage in this mode. But basically, you're taking your cars, and it's almost like a derby, but there's this giant soccer ball in the field that you're trying to push into a goal on either end. Huh. And it was – we had a blast. Now, granted, we had a blast because we were in the Hummers, but
– Yeah. So we had one guy in the lobby who played this game mode before. And he was like, yeah, you want to pick the Humvee. And so we all picked the Humvee. And then the other guys were like, oh, I want something small and nimble and agile. And so they picked something small and nimble and agile. The problem is when you have a Humvee versus – well, it's not a Humvee. It's a Hummer, excuse me. Now, when you have a Hummer versus something that's small and nimble and agile, the Hummer can just sort of push it out of the way without a whole lot of effort. So we were pretty much just pushing them around wherever we wanted them to go. Yes. So yeah, it was good fun for us because we were winning. I'm sure it wasn't as much fun for them.
Yeah, but I think if you balanced out the teams, that would actually be a mode that it would be a blast.
Yeah, it could be. It could be exciting. We didn't get a chance to play the tag mode or the infected
cat
mode.
And mouse. Well, there's not
cat and mouse. The actual infected mode.
Right.
I hate cat and mouse. Not because it's a bad game mode, but because I suck at it.
Okay. I think that we've kind of covered everything. And do you guys have any questions on Forza 4 before we move on?
Do you think it would be good for me, someone who doesn't like simulation racing games?
Well, I'm going to say no, because I recommended it to Thuper, and he hated every minute of it. So not Forza 4, but Forza 2. I felt bad for recommending it to him because he hated every minute of it. So to me, if you turn on enough of the assists, it really isn't all that much different from some of your Need for Speed games. But it certainly is more technical than that. You know, you don't want to go sliding through every turn and everything. So if what you want is to go sliding around every corner and smashing every barrier, then no, you don't want to play this game.
But the way the way you're explaining it to me, it feels now like, I mean, I like Forza, but in my heart of hearts, I like arcade racers probably more.
Yeah.
But I'd say that from what you're saying there, it's as if they're catering more to people that like having a bit of fun and just going on for a laugh. You know, all these different football modes and stuff. Right. As if they've said, right, well, we're going to brought. It's almost as if with Forza 3, they gave you more for the people that aren't as good at driving simulators as it would be with the rewind function and all of that sort of stuff. And they're making it more versatile to, you know, switch whatever assist you want on. But now it seems like they've pushed it even further by going with these weird, almost like flat out, you know, how you had like all of the weird mini games you used to have in that. So they've given you more of that to play around with as well. Just so you're having a laugh when you with a big bunch of people if you want. So you can break it up from having a 30-lap race and say, right, well, we'll do a race and then we'll do something else. And I think they've
made it accessible.
Yes.
Yeah. They've certainly made it accessible to everyone.
Well, I think that was kind of their almost the, like their slogan, if you will, for Forza 4 was...
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying it still caters to the hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, it's still at its very heart, it's still a simulation racing game. But yeah, they've added the pursuit mode where you just chase another car, and while you're chasing the other car, you have to pass a bunch of old slower cars, which can be challenging. There's another mode where all you do is make two laps around a circuit and try to pass as many slow cars as you can. And there's a target, you know, you got to pass this many cars.
Right.
So
that's in split second though.
Well, so yes, I think they've gone out and taken a lot of game modes from other games. Like the pursuit mode to me sounded a lot like the, what did they call it in Need for Speed Shift? The
Hot Pursuit.
Oh, no, sorry.
Not Hot Pursuit, but the Need for Speed Shift had a race mode where it was just you and another car, and you know you took turns starting with a lead and chasing each other. I can't remember what actual race mode they called that. I think it was like a rival shootout or something. You know, so they've gone out and added some of those kind of things, and yeah, I mean they've made it for everybody, in my opinion.
And everybody is a good thing. All right, so Forza 4, I think we can put a bow on this. It is an excellent game. If you like racing, you will definitely like this game. If you like car games, it's definitely worth checking out at least.
And if you like this podcast.
I've added it on my love film list now.
All right, well, let's push on. Mr. Primrose, let's get your games out of the way real fast. I'll go through mine, and I shouldn't say that. We'll talk about your games too. I don't want to dismiss what you've done here.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, not much to add, really. Did the Gears Turbo mode. The only thing I'll add to that from what Mike was saying, I really enjoyed it because it reminded me a lot more of, you know, like when you're playing Search and Destroy or a hardcore mode on, say, Call of Duty. Bit okay. More laid back, leisurely, and not so much running and just doing the old duels with the chainsaws or diving around with shotguns. It made you almost sit back and play the game from a positional point of view. So
it did change. Yeah, I enjoyed that. You couldn't expose yourself as much as you do in Gears of War.
Yeah, so. It was good. So I enjoyed that. And Orcs Must Die. I'll just add to that because I actually bought it. I know there's a lot of things out there, and it's kept me off rage.
How much is it?
It's 1,200. It is a bit steep, I did have some pointage in the bank, so I went for it.
Well, you do all right, don't you, Rich? You know what I mean? You do all right.
Yeah, I suppose so. So it's because it's got like the tower defense aspect. Really enjoyed that, and you can upgrade your traps and stuff on it. So yeah, I really enjoy it. It's good. It's good. And I mean, I played. I really liked the Toy Soldiers that was just recently out.
Right.
And that was 1,200 again, but I couldn't justify myself shelling out for it. Although I do think I'll eventually buy that. But this one, I had to have it because I really liked it. It's good. It's very worth trying out at least. Check out a demo. It's good.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it really. We'll just go with that. That's fine. Rage, a bit more rage, and yeah, that's cool. So, enjoying that.
Okay, cool. All right, so on my end, Extra Life, it happened this
weekend. Extra Life, great. Yes. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. 24 hours of gaming. It is not easy. I quickly remembered how tough it was. Really, about... I'd say midnight was when I really first felt my first twinge of, oh God, I just want to go to bed now. And
what did you start off with?
Well, yeah. So I'll take it in order of events. So Gears of War 3, I started off actually, I shouldn't say that. I started off on Rage and was playing some Rage. Then my buddy jumped on, wanted to play some Gears of War 3 campaign. So I started playing with him. And then, we took a break from that and I jumped into Forza 4. And literally played Forza 4 probably from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or actually maybe it was a little earlier than that. I'm trying to remember what time we kicked off Forza 4, but I mean it literally went from about 2, 3 o'clock until easily 9 o'clock at night, if not a little bit later.
Yeah, we played for a long time. I had to leave for a couple hours to prepare dinner for some friends of mine, and I came back and everyone was still playing Forza 4.
Yeah.
So
I'll just say this. I went from level 4 to level 21 in the span of our racing. So, and that was actually pretty comical because when we finally finished up and I walked away from it and just checked out to see what I had won in terms of like leveling up. I added so many cars to my garage, it wasn't even funny. I mean, it was just like pick another car, pick another car, pick another car, which we didn't talk about, but I love what they've
done. Oh, yeah. That is
so every time you level up in Forza, in the past, it was like, oh, you've been awarded this car. And, you know, you would get some special car or whatever. And I think Gran Turismo 5 is the same kind of deal. You level up, you get a car. In Forza 4, you level up, and they give you a choice of, say, five different cars in the same car class, and usually pretty much a very similar kind of car build, if you will. So, you know, it's two-door hatchback. So you're going to have five different two-door hatchbacks to pick from. And I just really like that. You know, it makes it feel unique, and you feel like everybody's going to end up with it, which they are. They're going to end up with different garages. It's not going to be like, oh, I hit level 20. I unlocked the Mazda MX-6 GT Racer, you know.
So you're building up your collection. Your collection feels unique.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. It's a nice touch.
I did notice, and this I know we keep going back to, oh, we forgot to mention. in previous Forza games, it was pretty easy to just pick the best car in each class and go for it, right?
Right.
But in this one, it seems that the AI drivers have upgraded cars, so you have to also be willing to upgrade if you want to keep your car competitive with them in certain events. So I think they've encouraged people to upgrade, by doing that, and also by adding in the. Once you get to a certain affinity level with a certain manufacturer, then your upgrade parts are free.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Nope. It is a nice touch. But anyway, played into probably around midnight. I was I was starting to feel pretty darn tired. And at this point, I decided, you know what? I'm going to throw in the Gunstringer. And I have to say, best decision I had made for the Extra Life part of it. I had a blast playing Gunstringer. Works really well with Kinect. It is a Kinect game, but it works fantastically well. And it actually was a lot more fun, and I think played better than the way the demo came across. The demo came across so overly cheesy in the presentation and kind of the way they showed the live action cutscenes and stuff. It made you think that that's all you were going to be getting out of this game. But it was a lot more, a lot of platforming levels and sections of the game. Yeah, I really kind of enjoyed that. You know, just having to time jumps over stuff as you're cruising along, and just made it much more fun. And the wit and the comedy of that game is good. And it was a perfect recipe for me to get some energy going again, woke me back up. And so I played Gunstringer, and then I switched over and played a little more Rage. And then around, I'll say about 3 o'clock in the morning,
get lonely at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and this is probably my worst mistake. I decided at this point, of course, I'm tired, it's quiet, I should play Dark Souls now. So I threw in Dark Souls, and I didn't hate the game, I didn't love the game. It's a mixed bag for me, and I certainly need to play more time with it to really give a definitive either yay or nay. But I think they've done some things that are overly, you know, I mean, just unnecessarily difficult or kind of finicky. You know, the game does not give you any direction. And if anybody has heard any other reviewers or podcasters talking about this game, they already know. Dark Souls and Demon Souls, it's just a punishingly difficult game. From the standpoint
of... A lot of people are talking about it. They go, right. You know, it's getting good reviews.
And I'll say this. It's not really all that punishing, or maybe I should say it's not really all that difficult. What is hard about the game is that they don't give you any real direction. You don't have a map. You don't have anything pointing to say, go this way or go that way.
It's just like you're left to your own devices.
You're left to your own devices, and they don't explain anything beyond the basics in the game. So crafting and potions and stuff like that really becomes a lot of just kind of trial and error. And combat on a whole is – well, one, it's a great combat mechanic in this game. I think it works well. You know, if you're using a long sword and you're fighting somebody and you try and fight in a narrow hallway, you're going to get frustrated because your sword is going to continually clack and rattle off of the sides of the hallway because you're trying to swing this long sword and it's hitting the, you know, the sides of the hallway. And so you need to actually understand your weapons and their abilities and their weaknesses. And on top of that, understand your enemies. So that part of the game is actually very cool, and the exploration can be very cool and satisfying, especially when you figure things out. You feel like, oh, I nailed that. I figured it out. I got it. But then you have those moments where you're just like, you know, okay, well, here's a perfect example. You start off the game, and there are markers on the ground that look like three like stripes, and these are notes left by somebody. And then there are what they call bloodstains on the ground, which, again, had I not been playing this at 3 o'clock in the morning, I might have made the better connection with this. But the bloodstains basically are the last moments. Well, no, they're the last moments. What happens is you walk over a bloodstain and you will see a ghost figure appear. Uh-huh. And you'll actually see the last few seconds of what this person did before they died.
That's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. And when you realize the bloodstain means that they died doing whatever you're watching or died shortly thereafter, because they don't always show the death, but they could have. They basically died shortly after what you saw, then it makes a lot more sense and you can say, okay, don't do that. But I, of course, didn't know this, and so I saw a bloodstain, and I saw this guy go up and around a corner and then come running back down and jump into this well, and I thought, oh, it's a hidden area. No, I died.
So there's this endless cycle of people doing that, because someone see that person do it, and then someone sees you do it, and then it goes on and on and on.
Yeah. And the notes can be helpful. But some people put notes up there to mess with you.
To be dicks.
Yeah. And they will literally say,
area. And then,
like, danger ahead and or, you know, jump type thing. And jumping will take you to your death.
How do you get the opportunity to leave a note then? Once you've died, do you get the option to put one there or?
See, okay, again, frustrating point of the game. Never figured that out. It's somewhere in the menus, but the problem is this game does not let you pause. You cannot pause the game at all, so it's constantly on, and if an enemy comes up to you and you're in the menus, you will die. Within like one or two hits, you will die. And so even the slightest enemy that, you know, your common like zombie rambler or whatever is a foe to be reckoned with if you are not properly prepared. And so in that regard, you're on edge. You know, you were just constantly like in fear for your life until you find a camp spot, a fire, basically a camp spot where you can save. Only those places are where you can save. No other place in the game can you save.
Oh, these are bonfires, yeah.
Yeah, and these are the bonfires, sorry. And so if you don't reach to a bonfire and you die, then the souls that you've collected, because as you kill an enemy, you collect their soul. The souls are left where you died or kind of nearby where you died. So, for instance, when I jumped off the well, I actually was smart because I was right next to a bonfire. I did the bonfire first. Then I went and jumped off the well, realized how stupid I was, and I was able to collect up my souls that were sitting right there. But you have to make it back to where you died if you want to collect your souls. The problem there is often where you died is extremely difficult, and so more than likely where you try to get back to those souls, you may die again. And there's – let me just put it this way. there's a right way to kind of go in this game, and there's a wrong way to go in this game. Early on, you don't want to go down, you want to go up. And it's never clear. Nobody tells you this. Nobody says anything to you this. The only direction you get is when you first come out of the kind of the tutorial area, there's a guy sitting right next to the first bonfire, and he says, you know, basically, hey, to get out of here, you need to ring the bell up in the church, and you need to ring the bell down below, basically. And the path to down below is basically just over his shoulder to the left. And the path upwards is kind of not real obvious, but it's off to the right. And if you go down to the left, you run into skeletons and all kinds of crap that basically, as a lesser character, those skeletons destroyed me instantly. And there are people that kept trying and trying and trying, and it's like beating your head against a wall because you're not going to beat them. You can try and run past them, but they'll follow you. And so, you know, I can't say I hate the game, though, because there's something about it that I kind of liked. And I don't know if it's because it's itching that Skyrim part of me of leveling up and adventuring, and maybe that's really what it is, because I do not like the fact that I don't have the ability to save at any point in time or at least pause the game, because the menu system in it is crap. And so you're kind of fighting against yourself. You really have to just make sure you are nowhere near an enemy to go into the menus. Anyway, so yeah, I played Dark Souls. 3 o'clock in the morning. And this is where I would say my bigger mistake was, not only was it extremely tough and challenging, but then I started really getting tired. And so I started finding myself doing the droopy eyes where literally – I'm walking and my eyes do the droop and suddenly I'm like, wait, where the fuck am I? So thank goodness, right as I'm getting to that point and was going to quit out of Dark Souls anyway, Stu came on, asked me to help him out to finish out Gears of War 3 and played the rest of that basically, took a little quick break for something to eat and we played that till the end of the Extra Life.
Cool.
But yeah, it was quite the event. Thank you to everybody who supported. I'll do a roundup of donations and stuff, but it was pretty awesome. Extra Life raised over $1 million, 1.1 last I saw, towards the Children's Hospital. So it was a wow. Huge event. And the VG Hub team did really well. I think raised up over $3,000. So it was good job all the way around. So.
Yeah. I think anyway, that's what was it last year? Do you remember?
I think last year we did about 2,000. I think the whole charity was just shy of $500,000.
Wow! So it's grown.
It has grown. It has definitely grown.
Great.
But yeah, so we're going to jump, I guess, right into the old new releases. All right. So new releases this week on the Wii. We've got Ben 10 Galactic Racing. Jimmy Johnson's Anything with an Engine. And, get this, The Price is Right, The Decades.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Price is Right, yeah. You probably listen to that music right about now. On the PS3, big release week this week. We've got Batman Arkham City, probably a contender for Game of the Year. Looking like it's getting really high marks. Ben 10 Galactic Racing, Everybody Dance, JASF, Jane's Advanced Strike Fighter, Jimmy Johnson's Anything with an Engine, Ratchet and Clank All for One, Rocksmith, and The Sims 3 Pets. PSN Front, again, lots of stuff going on here. Beat Hazard Ultra, Dead Space, Dungeon Defenders, Okaba, or Kabu, I don't know, you tell me. Payday, The Heist finally coming out.
How is that out? Right. It's been delayed, right?
It was delayed, yes. Real Steel coming out. Ridge Racer 7 3D version. Rocket Birds, Hard Boiled Chicken. Sam & Max, Beyond Time and Space. And Street Fighter Alpha 3. On the minis front, a few. 1,000 Tiny Claws, Speedball 2 Evolution, Street Smart, and The Treasure of Montezuma. And last but not least, Everybody Dance and Need for Speed the Run have demos. And DLC this week, Deus Ex Human Revolution The Missing Link comes out. You have a hankering for that DLC. On the 360 this week, Retail Shells, Batman Arkham City, Ben 10 Galactic Racing, Grease Dance. We also have a JASF, Jane's Advanced Strike Fighters, Jimmy Johnson's Anything with an Engine, Power Up Heroes, the Kinect fighting game comes out this week, and Rocketsmith, The Sims 3 Pets, and Tropico 4. Like your RTS games, that might be worth looking at. Xbox Live Arcade, Dungeon Defenders, and demos this week, Need for Speed the Run, and I believe Dance Central 2 also has a demo out. And Deus Ex Human Revolution The Missing Link out this week for the old DLC front. And deals of the week this week, it's Halo. Halo Defiant map pack and the Halo Reach Noble map pack and the Halo Reach Defiant map pack. All for 400 points.
Or easy for you to say.
Not at all. Jeez Louise. But hey, that's the new releases. We're done.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Are you excited for the news quiz, Rich?
Not playing.
Come on, Rich. I have a feeling you might just do okay with this one. I don't know.
Oh...
But hey, we're going to start off with Chris first.
Oh.
Yep. Chris, your question, what company recently allegedly looked to tamper / influence gamer review scores for their particular game coming up? Was it EA? Was it Activision? Or was it Microsoft?
See, what company allegedly tried to tamper? EA, Activision, or Microsoft? I'm going to go with EA.
You would be correct. You are continuing your hot streak this week.
Damn.
Yeah, so EA,
booyah,
according to reports from the Norwegian press, basically it was caught allegedly attempting to manipulate Battlefield 3 review scores by denying journalists who might treat the game unfavorably access to early copies. So apparently, a few select number of Norwegian gaming sites, including Gamer.no and GameReactor, had requests for early copies of Battlefield 3 met with a suspicious questionnaire. The list of questions started off fairly benign, with a request for the reviewer's name and contact info, but quickly kind of went into murky territory, with inquiries like, has the reviewer expressed enthusiasm or concern for Battlefield 3? Is he a fan of Battlefield? And even a little more concerning was questions about the rivalry franchises, implying that EA is specifically scouting for reviewers who are looking to tell readers that Battlefield 3 is superior to Activision's best-selling franchise.
So they're looking for people that would probably like Battlefield more than Call of Duty.
A little more telling to this story is that then a spokesman for EA Norway issued an official apology, basically claiming that the questionnaire was sent out as the product of human error and stating that the practice is not something the company intends to continue.
Mm.
Interesting stuff indeed. Okay, Mike, you are up next.
Sweet.
So, Mike, speaking of Battlefield 3, how many gamers participated in full on the Battlefield 3 beta, PC, PS3, and 360 included? Was it 6.6 million, 8.1 million, or 10.2 million?
I'm going to go with the first one, Greg.
6.6. You would be wrong, Mike. It is 8.1. Okay. Yes, the official Battlefield blog also posted a bunch of stuff, basically stating that 8.1 million players participated. But there was also these nice little factoids I thought I'd throw out to you guys. So 635.6 meters was the longest headshot recorded. 19 million lost dog tags to knife attacks. 47.1 billion shots were fired. And more depressingly, or impressive, depending on how you want to look at it, 1.5 billion kills were recorded. I think I can I contributed quite a few to that stat.
Yeah, it would be 1 billion if it wasn't for you.
Okay, Rich, here's your question.
Mm-hmm.
Which game recently announced its season pass called Fortune Hunters Club? Okay.
Yep.
Hunters Club. Was it Skyrim, Uncharted 3, Drake's Fortune, or Saints Row the Third?
Well, going on past history and what you normally give to me, I'm going to have to go with Uncharted 3.
And you would be correct. Yeah. Uncharted 3, Fortune Hunters Club is really more of a bargain hunters club. Basically, doing the season pass thing where you're saving on future DLC. So basically, you purchase for $25, you get around $45 worth of content, says Sony. Basically, exclusive theme, XMB message service keeping you up to date with the newest DLC. And, of course, you will get bundled in a discount for the bundled pre-order, the first four multiplayer map packs, and the first three multiplayer skin packs. So, yeah, season passes continue on. Shocking? Not really.
Yeah. Popular trend now.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, let's move on. Chris, you are up next. Which driving game's first big DLC is getting delayed? Is it Need for Speed Shift 2, Forza 4, or GT5?
Given the length of development and other problems with the game, I'm going with GT5.
Yeah, again, right on the nose. So when it comes to release dates, apparently Gran Turismo, not exactly great with it. So Gran Turismo's first big DLC, originally intended to launch on October 18th, is now going to be drifting out a little bit to October 25th. No explanation has really been given as to why, but it is basically the company, Sony, actually, is saying that they apologize for the delay, but they are going to give a special bonus with the DLC on October 25th. So at least you've got a little something to look forward to, but again, not telling you what it is. Okay, moving right along on the quiz. Only a couple more questions here, guys. So, Mike, you are up next. What is the name of the game tied up in litigation with ZeniMax and Bethesda? Is it A, Scrolls, B, Elder Skills, or C, Elder Scrolls?
Scrolls. This is the Notch game, right?
Yep, it is. It is. And it seems that Notch and company have got a little win on their side. So basically, the indie studio won the right to continue to use the Scrolls name, at least for now, which basically Bethesda is claiming is infringing on Elder Scrolls copyright. And until the case actually goes to trial, they're allowed to continue to use the name per a court injunction. So, yeah. I really hope they win because I think it's ridiculous that Bethesda is trying to sue them over this. But, oh well. All right, Rich, last question for you. And you know what? Speaking of quirky, fun questions, which I know you like, I thought this was kind of a fun one to ask you. What energy drink will reward you with a Batman skin, Rich, for Arkham City? Is it A, Monster? Is it B, Red Bull? Or is it C, NOS, N-O-S?
Monster.
Unfortunately, you are wrong. It is NOS.
I thought it would be NOS.
With all the different retail orders and pre-order plans around Batman, it just got a little bit murkier. I can't even say it. I really should stop talking. I was going to try and say more murky. So basically there is a Batman's Beyond skin that is now being offered as a reward for drinking the energy drink NOS. So go out, fill up on NOS, throw your skin on.
You ever drank NOS?
I tried it once. I didn't care.
It's hideous.
Yeah, it wasn't terribly
good. What is it?
It's an energy drink that is not good.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of caffeine in a can.
Are they you know, with the Batman thing, staying on Batman. Right. Is it true that, like, Catwoman is, like, kind of day one purchase DLC, or...?
That is my understanding, that, yeah, she is tied into, basically, kind of day one...
For the challenge maps, obviously.
Yeah. Well, she does have a small little campaign as well, but, yeah.
Because in the demo that I played of Batman, like, the game starts off you playing as Catwoman, and then you change into Batman. But I think that would still be there, but
right.
the DLC, for like the challenge maps, and there must be some kind of little side quest that you can do as Catwoman, is extra DLC, which is a bit, I don't know, it's a bit, that seems like a little bit too close to in-game content to me, you know?
No, absolutely. Like, I
stuff that should be in the story and on the disc, you know?
Well, and I think that's actually, it is on the disc, and that's one of the other gripes that's going to come about with this, but... They're handling Batman really weird, and part of me thinks they're handling it this way because they don't have a true, like, multiplayer hook, and so they're trying to hook people with all these different ways to kind of get this extra DLC, but it just seems like a big mess. Anyway, you know, real quick, I wanted to throw in as a bonus, and it's not really a question for anybody, but the NPDs did come out last week. Late in the week, so I figured I'd go through those real fast. On the software front, counting up from 10 to 1, Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine made the top 10, which was good to see. Call of Duty Black Ops continues to sell, even with Modern Warfare 3 just around the corner, at 9. LEGO Star Wars 3 The Clone Wars came in at number 8. Resistance 3 coming in at number 7, so it looks like they had a little bit of a bounce.
Surge. Yeah.
Yeah,
is it with isn't there like a bundle, like a PS3 bundle that goes with it or something?
Well, there's two different bundles. There's the sharpshooter with the sharpshooter for move that you can get bundled up with Resistance 3. But then there's also the TV deal that they have the new Sony TV coming out. That Resistance 3 originally was going to be a pack-in bonus with it, but then they changed that, and now Resistance 3 is a pre-order bonus for the TV.
Okay.
Not the other game that they now are giving with Resistance 3, but basically, yeah, there's definitely ways to pick up Resistance 3. Deus Ex Human Revolution comes at number 6. NHL 12 had a nice strong showing at number 5, followed by or just behind FIFA Soccer 2012 at 4. Dead Island coming in number 3, almost a million copies sold, so Dead Island doing nicely for themselves. Gears of War 3 came in at number 2 in September on the NPDs, at 2 million, and it was just behind Madden NFL 12. So Madden, still selling well. On the hardware front, real fast, the Xbox 360 took the crown with 438,000 units, so even though it wasn't the cheapest or didn't have a price cut, I think Gears of War 3 did well for it. PlayStation 3, it's estimated because there were no official numbers put out for PS3, but it was somewhere between 364,000 and 374,000 units, so definitely seeing some bonus from the price cut for them. Nintendo 3DS at 260,000 units, as well, I would think they are benefits of a price cut. The Wii came in at 240,000, and the old DS still chugging along, 145,000 units sold.
Wow, yep. Still going along.
Yeah, so that is it, and that's it for the news. So before we cut out, we're not going to take our show break quite yet. What we're going to do is, well, I guess you consider this maybe the break, but we're going to play a little video. Now, this is actually up on the old Gate forums. It's called Rage Quit for Dark Souls. It's a funny video, so I thought we would play it. We can make commentary as it's rolling along. And, of course, anybody listening to this, you may not get the full effect, so by all means, go into the Gate forums, g4te.com, go into the Cinema Lounge, and in there you'll find the video for this. It's called Rage Quit Dark Souls, and I think you'll enjoy it.
All right, what the hell just happened?
I lit the bonfire! Wow, holy fuck! Right off the bat, this is what we're doing now?
Jesus fucking, come on, move,
so this
you
dude's
asshole!
Being smashed by a
well,
giant hammer.
I can't
hammer.
Fucking move. Like, am I dead?
Oh, by a dragon.
I'm already dead!
This is the
what
first
the
time
shit?
I've seen.
That's like the Dark first guy in the game!
Now,
of course I gotta play Dark Souls!
Oh my god! Pausing real fast, it is fairly accurate, some of the frustration this guy's talking about. That first boss, you're like, holy shit, I really have to fight this dude? I've got a broken fucking sword, what am I gonna do?
With a club.
Yeah.
And you're naked.
God damn, dude. Open the door. Open the door. Open the door. Why does it take so long? Come on! Go!
That might have been...
I lit the bonfire again! Get your shield. You get your shield. Yeah. Now we got a shield.
Every time he lit the bonfire, by the way, that's him basically dying.
That shield looks like a fruit box.
Come here, you
smashed
prick.
Up fruit box.
Come here, you son of a bitch! What is all of this?
That's what I think when
Get
I'm like,
the shit. Home run, motherfucker! Fucking barrel roll! Maybe you could barrel roll your way to a sandwich.
So, when he screams home run, his character is for some reason holding this broken club aloft in the air. It looks not unlike Babe Ruth calling his shot in the classic baseball game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So one of the things in the game to put this in perspective, there are gestures that you can do because there is a cooperative mode that I have not experienced, but other human players can invade your game and either help you or potentially try and kill you. And there are gestures they allow you to do, in a sense, kind of, I guess, to communicate to the other character a thank you, if you will, or kind of a gloating gesture. And so that was one of those gestures that he's talking about, where it's a stance where he's holding it up straight up in the air, kind of calling a shot type thing. Anyway, here we go.
Oh, my God! Fucking Indiana Jones up in this bitch! Get hit by a fucking boulder? God damn it. Shut up and give me
that boulder,
a fucking
by the way.
Key, jerk off! Thank you. Go fuck yourself. Ah, fuck. God damn it.
So you know who this
you
reminds me of?
Repel, and I know shitbird.
He unfortunately doesn't listen to the show, but this reminds me a lot of Scott Spence from the forums. I can envision him playing an RPG, and this would be him talking to the RPG. Not a patient individual.
Ironically, Chris, this reminds me a little bit of you when you get frustrated with a game.
Yeah, that's accurate as well.
Ah, fuck! Fuck! Shit! God damn it! I just go to town on my corpse. My double corpse? I'm fucking dead like 5 times now. Bullshit! Bullshit, I parried that! God damn it. God damn it! Yeah! Bitch. Get off me! Get the fuck off me! What the fuck? Holy shit! I got just a cliff! I just walked off a fucking cliff. Why? 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 Do you guys hear about Lloyd's Talisman? God damn it.
So that to me was really funny when he said, you guys hear about Lloyd's Talisman, because that's like the 5th or 6th time he's had to see the info screen informing him of this magical item that he's supposed to find or he's gotten or something.
Yeah.
So he's kind of commenting to his audience. He's like, hey, you remember this part? So yeah, that was good.
All right, let's continue on.
Sorry.
Can I just fucking sit here? Can I just hang out in Northern Undead Asylum, this bonfire, just fucking end the game here? Fuck, 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 fuck! Oh, wow. I'm surprised I didn't die. There's a fucking arrow sticking out of my chest. It takes him fucking... Oh, fuck you! Hit you in the face! Okay. Hit him! Hit him! And I'm dead. And I'm fucking dead! I'm fucking dead, Alan Franklin! You fucking killed me! God damn it!
Alex that was Franklin his mate, pop, chat,
his
yeah.
mate popped up.
Yeah, he's yelling at his buddy. That's hilarious. I've been on the end of that before. I busted in on Thuper and Sethwardo playing Vegas 2 one day or something. And apparently when I popped in, the little CPM has joined your party notification was right over something very important, and they both died. They weren't happy. I was like, well, my bad.
All right, here we go.
Why would you make the game this hard? This is like 10 seconds into the fucking game. I put the game in the fucking Xbox, and I've died like 40 fucking times. You will die over and over and over. Why? Who would want to do that? Why would you want to play that? I want to play the fucking game and happy times and fun adventures and fucking go on picnics and fucking dance around in sunlight and sunshine. I don't know. Rainbows and sprinkles. Not fucking die over and over again. That's not fun. I don't like that. Who the fuck likes that? That's bullshit. Fucking Christ. You and your goddamn bowl cut. This is like never gonna happen. This is never gonna fucking happen. It's the first fucking boss. Oh.
Pause. That your guy has got the biggest Beatles fucking haircut in the whole world.
Yeah, he's
just commenting on that. Excellent.
So funny. All right, here we go.
Oh my god! Holy fuck! My asshole's been torn asunder here. Asshole's got a shield, a club, and a fucking haircut from the 60s. Fucking 1260. I fucking killed him. I fucking killed him. I fucking killed him and I died! No! You defeated? That's not even English. You defeated? You defeated what? What does that mean?
That's it.
Great.
Oh.
Is it because he isn't like a normal, typical rage. He's quite clever and funny. So that's good. I like that. Very good.
So yeah, that was it. So we will take our proper break now, and when we come back, we'll do a community mailbag and try and wrap this show up quickly so we can get to Dark Souls and Rage. Literally, Rage. All right, back in a bit.
I was bored of my gaming, I've been playing too long. From Project Gotham to Halo, I'd even tired of Pong. But then I picked up a new game, one my friends never knew. I put a post on the forums to try to find a player too. If you like Viva Pinata, but you feel all ashamed, your friends don't understand you, because you like a kid's game. If you play co-op games at midnight, when nobody can see, I got room on my friends list, send an invite to me. Started tending my garden, the grass had started to sprout, but I kept it all hidden, so my Halo clan would not find out. I logged into the forums to see if someone came by, and in a personal message, I got a single reply. Yes, I like Viva Pinata, and I feel quite ashamed. All my friends think it's stupid, and they call me rude names. I'm up for FIBA games at midnight, when nobody can see. Hit me up for some co-op, your secret is safe with me. So I turned on my Xbox and got a new friend request. But when I heard who had sent it, I would never have guessed. It was my clanmate from Halo. And I said, oh, it's you. Then we laughed for a moment. And I said, I never knew that you like Viva Pinata. But nobody could know that you're proud of your garden and its mustachios. Just make yourself a second gamer tag to ensure privacy. But if you want those achievements, come play co-op with me. If you like Viva Pinata, but you feel all ashamed, your friends don't understand you.
All right, we are back from the break, and well, mini mailbag time. So, question of the week, just a fun one, especially in light of the Extra Life event. We wanted to know what your favorite gaming marathon drink and/or food was when you were poop socking the latest release. I should absolutely make sure I get that in there. So, Mike, what's your favorite gaming food or beverage when you are going long time gaming? You know, Extra Life of style, like 24-hour, you're just on a binge.
I suppose it's going to be crisps or, you know, potato chips, as you would call them. I kind of love them. That's something that I would always eat during gaming. But I do remember having one of the longest gaming stints I had was on Halo 3 when it was released, and I bought it on the night and played it all night until 8 o'clock in the morning. And all I had was, we bought some pretzels on the way back from Tesco, and, every time I eat pretzels now, it just reminds me of Halo 3, which is, I don't really like them that much. I just thought I'd buy them for that, and it's just, pretzels always remind me of Halo 3 now, so I can't really eat them. But yeah, I thought I'd just throw that little story in.
That's a good story to throw in there. Yeah. So, I'm sorry, did you call out a drink or no?
Oh, a drink. I'm a big fan. I don't know if you guys have this over there. I'm a big fan, Primrose back me up, of cloudy lemonade.
Lemonade. What exactly is cloudy lemonade?
Mike doesn't drink, so we know it's not like hard lemonade.
Right.
No, it's not. It's not like alcoholic or anything. It's like pop, basically. It's lemonade, but it's cloudy. It's more lemony than lemonade, if you will. And
we had that.
It's called
Sprite.
Well, is it carbonated?
It's carbonated, but you can't see through it. It's cloudy. It's not Sprite.
It's like Mountain Dew.
No, that's an energy drink. It's not that. But cloudy lemonade, Google it or something. But yeah,
Mountain Dew's not an energy drink. It's just soda.
Yeah,
it just happens to have a lot of caffeine in it.
I'm just typing in Mountain Dew now, but I don't.
Mellow Yellow.
Mellow Yellow. Maybe.
I don't know. Let me type in Mellow Yellow. But this is fascinating podcasting.
Well, yes, it is. Rich, favorite gaming food and/or beverage? Well, and beverage. Let's cover both.
Mellow Yellow, by the way, is probably closer, but a little bit more cloudier than that. Like, you can't see through cloudy lemonade.
Okay.
So
I've learned something.
It. Yeah. It's great.
If only now we could say, how do you make that?
I don't know. Clouds and lemon.
Rich, favorite food, beverage, go.
Turkish sausages. Turkish sausages are excellent for gaming. If you get stuck on COD, you can tie Turkish sausages to your fingers and use them on the joypad, and you play better. So Turkish sausages, definitely.
And for the drink, please.
For the drink, I would go for a nice peaty whiskey. Preferably just one cube of ice in it.
For a long gaming session, you're going to drink whiskey.
Oh, yeah. As long as you've got a full bottle, you're okay.
Mr. Matthew, what about you?
So I have to agree with Primrose, although it depends on the game, right? So if I'm settling down for a long session of like Mass Effect, then it's a case of Coke Zero. But if it's going to be a long day racing with the Gaming for the Elderly community on Forza, I'm going to need myself a good stiff bourbon, which is American for whiskey.
And no reflection, no reflection, of course, on the gaming community.
I drive better when I'm drinking, man. Shut up. So yeah, that's good. And then for my chow of choice, it's either some popcorn or if I can get my hands on them, some fried chicken wings.
Okay.
Because who doesn't like fried chicken wings?
You know what? That's me, actually. I'm not a big
You're
fan
fired.
Of fried chicken
You're,
wings.
Oh, shut up. You're fired. Greg, what's your favorite?
I'm a little partial. It's kind of funny that Mike brought up pretzels. I discovered honey wheat pretzel sticks for this weekend's gaming marathon, and I'm now quite fond of them. In fact, so much so that my wife looked at me and she said, "You're really just going to eat that whole bag, aren't you?" And I said, yeah, I am. And then for like a long gaming session where I'm trying to stay awake, I would say probably the Monster low-carb drinks, I really like those. I'm not a big fan of the regular Monster drinks. They're a little too sugary for me. I don't know why, but the low-carb ones have a better flavor to me. But I would be more inclined to say if I was doing a racing thing, margarita or maybe Coors Lights. Coors Lights are nice just because you just the bottle's right there. It's easy enough. It stays cool long. Works for me. But yeah. So let's find out what the community thought. I guess we can jump into the forums. Chris, I believe you are first up for a forum response.
Speaking of racing. Nick Nitrous 15 says, "Since my kitchen door is right next to the TV, I usually end up cooking things, checking on the grub between rounds. Just the other week during Gears 2 playdate with the veteran gamers, I had chicken and chips, which I believe is chicken and french fries from my American friends. My favorite food during the marathons has to be burgers or fish fingers / sausage sandwiches with Tom sauce. So I don't know who Tom is, but apparently he has good sauce. Beverage of choice has to be either Dr. Pepper or Carlsberg. Fish fingers are good, although fish don't really have fingers.
But if they did, they would look just like that.
Nick might want to try the tying of the fish fingers to the fingers to make him play better.
Yeah.
So there you have it. If your controller is not greasy and grimy enough from years of use, you can tie some fish fingers to your fingers.
And make it just that much better.
It'd be like those control freak things, only with fish.
Mike, why don't you go next?
Next one is from Parsnipdance 3000. And he says, "I usually forget all about eating when I'm playing, but will make frequent trips to the Soda Stream to stock up on whichever carbonated delight is my current favorite." Parsnipdance has a lot of gadgets. I remember he put up a post in the old days of O35 of all the weird gadgets he's got, like electric hoovers and mad dishwashers and toilets that can, like, brush your hair. Like, I think he works for some kind of gadget website and he has to drop in, like, a gadget in every comment. SodaStream. They're great.
I think Parsnip Nose must have some sort of time machine next to his Xbox because... he'd be going back to the 1980s if he was getting a SodaStream.
Hey, no, they came back. They came back in a big way, SodaStreams.
Yeah. Did they?
About a year ago, they came back big style. They're back in fashion.
Or maybe the whole world just went back to the 80s and we never knew it.
The end is nigh. Let's go on.
Tweets!
Yes, tweets.
We have some tweets. Yeah, Heavy Evil, Antonio Phillips, just said, "Monster."
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Monster seems to work. I mean, although I'm, you know, the diet monster kind of guy, but that's okay. Monster's monster.
Is he talking about the monster, the crisps, Rich, do you reckon?
Could be.
He's talking about the monster drink, personally.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Heavy Evil, if you could maybe clarify at some point down the road, that would be greatly appreciated because this debate will rage on for weeks now. Not really. Go on, okay. Rich.
Bongo the Sane wrote in, I've got a 12-pack of Corona chilling. There you go. You got lime to go with that, kidder. Hey, bit of lime. Mmm, nice.
Yeah. I like Corona. You know, yeah, I could see that. That's a good move, Bongo. That's a good move. That, Corona?
That's alcoholic, right?
Yes, yes. It's right, beer.
Well, I'm out.
Beer with lime. It's okay. We won't hold it against you. Kind of, sort of.
Oh, well, I know that one. That's where people have the lime and some people push it in, some people don't. And that confuses me.
I mean, if you're going to ask for a lime, you might as well push it in. I mean, there's no point in not pushing it in if you're going to ask for a lime.
Lime insertion is a prerequisite with Corona. Yes.
After all, you put the lime in the coconut and mix it all up.
And I would like to point out, lime cutting at bars or pubs, if you will, is important. You can't cut them too thick that you can't get them into the bottle. Because there are some places that do that, and then they expect you to just shove and mangle that lime in there. And you got lime bits everywhere. Just like a hint of lime. Anyway. Hey, question for next week's show. Should Microsoft extend the friends limit or require games to include clan support similar to Forza 4's Car Club?
That's interesting.
So interesting. I like it. So the debate, you know, I mean, and Chris, I know you were the father of this question, if you will. So are you talking either or? So maybe should Microsoft be extending the friends limit or require games? You know, so he's basically saying, you know, if they don't extend the friends limit, then they should require.
I guess.
And support.
To me, if they're going to keep the friends limit, if they're keeping the friends limit at 100, but clearly game developers can put in something like the Car Club, which in essence is just a second friends list.
Right.
The game that I got together this afternoon, I think one of the eight people that turned up were on my friends list. The rest of them were members of the Car Club.
Okay.
But so, you know.
There you go.
I think it's a great feature. I just wonder if maybe we should, you know, we've been moaning about the limit of the friends list for years. Maybe this is a workaround. I don't know.
Yeah. So clan support, I mean, really, I guess what we're talking about is should they require every game to have clan support or would you rather see them just extend your friends limit?
That's a good question. That is exactly what I said.
I like it. All right. Think about that, everybody, and respond. We want to see lots of responses on this. Emails, Twitters, forum responses. I mean, we want to be avalanched. And Duke,
inundated.
Yes. Inundated, yes. Or
Or overwhelmed.
Maybe that. Sure. I do have one.
Jefe, would you say we would like a plethora of responses?
Random film reference.
Yes.
From the Three Amigos. Come on, Mike. Come on.
He's been Three Amigos. I know.
Amigos is great. I don't know why.
Talk about someone not letting
weeks.
A thing go. Jesus.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie. But you know what also is good? Community playdates, birthdays, and new member stuff.
Community playdates are awesome. Too bad we don't have any. Right.
Because everybody's at the goddamn car club.
Yeah. Birthdays are also amazing. But we don't have any birthdays either. So get to making babies, people. We need birthdays.
Yeah.
Although you should have started on that a few months ago, I guess, for this week. So wait about 3 months and then get to making babies. Yeah. All right. But welcome to new members. I think the Car Club is having a bit of a recruiting effect, which I'm liking. Welcome to the new members, Burial Worm, Mark Nally, Quijibo Jones, Dizzy Giraffe.
Nice.
I would love the Dizzy Giraffe. That image is hilarious to me.
That's a good name. Yeah, that's a really good name.
Palmer 200165. Yes, I believe that's a year and a date of some kind. Rick 75 Fowler, you're the shed, and I'm a poster. Not a poser, a poster. I'm a poster.
I would like to point out all of these people have, for the most part, been quite active since joining up. I mean, I was
jumping right in.
All of them posting up responses already. So good stuff.
Like to see the new members jump right in. It's the only way you're going to become part of the team. But you know what? You know what's even better than birthdays and play dates, Greg?
I'm going to guess iTunes reviews.
You're on it, man. Go ahead.
I am on it. iTunes reviews. Yeah, you know, all these new members, all these people loving us. Give us iTunes reviews. Come on. Just, you know, reciprocate. We give to you, you give to us.
It helps us out, people.
Yeah. We'll even give you advanced screening copies of something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But it's special. But anyway, iTunes reviews. That was a bad joke that was going nowhere, so I had to kill it. Sorry. iTunes reviews and Zune reviews. Yes, the Zune does exist. I know, Mike. I know. The Zune was a failed device.
You keep plugging that thing.
But see, this is the thing. All of the Windows really, I cannot talk today. What the hell? All of the Windows Phone 7 devices have Zune. They use Zune Marketplace. The Xbox 360 uses Zune Marketplace. Windows 8 will be using Zune Marketplace. So, the Zune exists. Just not as a device anymore. But yeah, you can actually leave a review on there. It has happened. I kid you not.
Wow. Yeah. I remember that day.
Yeah, that one day. More importantly, if you wanted to email the old show here, because it is kind of an old show now. We've been around. Mike, where would you send that email to?
You would send that email, Greg, to ocpodcast@gmail.com. It's easy as that. Just send us an email about the question that we read out about the whole friends list and things to ocpodcast@gmail.com. Done.
Easy peasy. You know, you can also send us a tweet, Rich. I know you're a big fan of the old Twitter.
Yes, you would do that by going to curlywhirlything, OC_podcast.
Curlywhirlything. For some of you, that may be the at sign. Others, it's the curlywhirlything. All right, we really need to
wrap this. If you really want to be technical, you might call it the ampersand.
That could probably be the correct thing. Thanks, Chris. Yeah. All right, shout-outs. Let's wrap this thing up. It is well past time. Mr. Primrose, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I'd like to shout out, and I haven't got it in front of me, whoever put up the Dark Souls video, because that made me laugh. I like that.
That was Pud Light.
Was it Pud Light?
Yeah, well done.
That's Mark. Yeah,
good well for done, a laugh.
Mark. Like that. I'd also like to shout out Paul George, my friend who's down the pub tonight, for basically engaging me in a conversation about how dogs would be removing their wetsuits because of the zips that run down the back. Dogs do wear wetsuits, but how do they get them off? I'll leave you with that.
I believe there's a person involved in that process. I'm just
one of the mystery. Don't do that. It's one of the mysteries of the universe.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Rich, pass it
Mike,
on, please.
Yes, I'd like to shout out the Likely Lad. Bless him for playing that short game that is Alice in Wonderland Returns, whatever. Bless him. I sent him a message saying, look, don't bother. Don't waste your time. I played this game, so you don't have to. Right? And he was like, oh, I just want it to end. But I think he's going to see it through to the end. Shout out Flecky because he's broke his toe or something trying to fight in the MMA thing that he does. God bless him. C Fox, even though someone put Sex Fox, I don't know why.
Was not me.
I don't know. But Chris MJW, and that's me. Done. Greg, I'll let you go.
Okay. I'm going to do a couple shout outs real fast to new people following us on the old Twitter. Chapo GFE, Collie Wally. And a nice little shout out to Spog, who was in the forums earlier, and Spock.
Spock.
Yes. He had a pretty funny comment there. So, and then of course, I want to take a moment to shout out everybody who donated, and they donated for my end specifically. You guys helped me get to 102% of my goal, which my goal seemed like it was an ever moving target, but we finished out. 1,226 raised. So I was ecstatic. And for that, I want to thank Mr. Richard Primrose.
Yay.
Very much. Frank Giel, William Crutzen, my sister, Renee Keene, my brother-in-law, Mike Carr, Debbie Cleva, Diane Jasperson, Judy Azzarello, the Bernal Church, who had a very nice big donation, which was quite completely by surprise, Susan Wickler, Alice Padrone, my father, Tom DeLacy, Beverly Deal, Tom, Beverly Ashburn, Raymond Giel, Dean Riley, Kevin Knight. I would like to thank the U.S. Army, a.k.a. Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Yeah, I'm the only one in the Army.
Yes, you are.
I am an army of one.
That is a very weak army.
Oh, that's not nice.
That's not nice at all. Will McGill and Troy Jenkins. And just thank you to everybody because you guys really did come through in a big, big way. And two more I forgot to shout out. Joanne Kirkpatrick and Maseko DeLacy. Rounds it out. Didn't realize there was a second page. Yeah, so awesome stuff. Chris, why don't you finish it out?
I am just going to shout out everyone who turned up for the Forza 4 opening week mayhem on Saturday. Thanks to Marcanix for putting it together and for hosting it. There's too many people for me to try to name them all that showed up, but it was great times, and hopefully we will have many more before Modern Warfare 3 drops and everyone forgets about Forza. And that's me done.
We'll never forget about Forza now. Never, ever, ever.
Never.
But we are done now.
Yep.
We're out of here.
Bye-bye.
We're out. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Jesus.
Hey, Chris, I watched Event Horizon the other day.
Terrible movie.
It's not very good. But it is Dead Space, the movie.
It is very similar to Dead Space in theme.
Because it starts off and you think, oh, this could be some kind of psychological... No, it's just demons. Oh, okay.
Nope, just demons.
Because it starts off, it's like, oh, man, he's fucking with his mind, he's going insane. No, the thing went to another world and he's fucked up there and he came back and now it's alive. Brilliant. Well done, film.
We pretty much can start recording whenever, because, I mean...
I'm waiting on you, clowns.
You know, look.
I'm ready, Greg. I'm ready. I have nothing to talk about, but I'm ready.
It's always a good sign. All right, let me...
From the show. Is that
no, awesome? Of course not. We can give you a hard time and just make fun of you. All right, let me close my door and we'll record. Hold on.
Close the door. Well, it says on how it is made, how they made honey. Now, Tara couldn't watch that because she has a phobia of honey.
What?
True story. She can't be near honey.
It's a bit weird.
Really?
Yeah, she cannot, like, she can't even look at it. She just runs away. There's no...
Serious. Like, a full-on phobia. Like, she is, like...
There's no, like, bargaining with her. Like, it's just honey. It's not going to kill you. I can understand if you don't like it. She's like, no, won't be in the same room as it. No.
Mr. Christopher Matthew.
The king of the pauses. The king of the pauses.
Okay, just to update everybody, Christopher Matthew has wrote in the Skype window, wait a minute, waiting for the baby to go upstairs. Now, this baby isn't even one, and he's expecting it to climb the stairs. That's a bit ridiculous, to be honest, Chris.
You know, you could solve this issue. Put him in the bath with his clothes on, add a little detergent, wash clothes and kid together.
That's what I do, but it's, you know, mom's with him. So...
Chris, I've got a dilemma for you. Fast forward 20 years from now.
Okay.
Sean comes back into the house and says, Dad, I've just got myself a job at UPS. What do you do?
As soon as I
random sound find... effect.
There's your random sound effect.
I find.
As soon as I find my, let's just start over. Hold on.
Yeah. Do you want me to do that then?
I was waiting for it to start recording, but you know what? Why don't you? You just bring us into it. Here we go. We'll take another pause, and then Rich, you start it up.
Okay.
Boobs.
Delicious.
Here we go.
Turkish delight. Turkish sausage delightful.
Turkish.
Mike, did you want to get on the turkey action?
Mike doesn't eat turkey.
No. I do eat turkey, but I'm not engaged in this conversation.
Do they even have turkeys in England?
Of course they do not. So we invented them. We invented turkey.
No, you didn't. No, but seriously, I mean, have you ever eaten a turkey?
Of course I have.
All right. I didn't think they had turkeys over there.
No, when we have a big sandwich. Christmas dinner, we have emus.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a turkey. That's an emu.
La, 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 la.
No, that's just Christmas dinner. We have turkeys for the rest of the year.
You are a turkey. You all are turkeys. Here we go.
Wait, so wait. Do you have turkeys there or not?
We have Turkish sausages.
No. Turkeys, as in the
gobble,
birds.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Do you actually have turkeys? Okay.
Yes.
We have solved the great mystery of the turkeys. They have them.
For some reason, I thought that they didn't.
What, turkeys are only native to America?
I actually thought that they were native to the North American continent, yes. I was misinformed.
We also have geese.
Well, I believe that.
We also have the internet.
No,
I believe that as well. I don't believe that America is like the only place that anything good exists. I just legitimately thought that turkeys were native to the North American continent. I apologize.
We will add though, it is better in America.
Everything is better.
Everything's better in America.
Because there are no cats in America, and the streets are paved with cheese.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.